welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
There are a lot of questions that I don't always have the answers to. Some of them I do have, Jonathan, and some of them are good, and some of them are not so good, and don't even comment on what percentage you think I am of each of those. But when it comes down to it, one of the more common questions that I get is, Tom, I am in this church, and if you could tell me one thing that could help turn this church around, what would it be? Well, first of all, I don't like magic bullets, and I don't like one thing because usually a system is more complex than that. But if we could do one thing, and it worked, it would be this, to get the members to consistently invite people to church, just simple as that. That could turn a church around, that could revitalize a church, that could take a church from decline to increase. It is so simple, and yet at the same time, it is not done, and it's not done well. So we had this incredible post that went out on the blog that talked about why church members don't invite others to church. So tell us a little bit about who wrote that and what happened, because it was not I.
It was Dr. Chuck Lawless, who we've talked about on the blog before, and you've written many books with. And Dr. Lawless is a professor at Southeastern Seminary, who also sponsors today's episode.
So that's good. That works out well.
Yeah,
so actually,
how that works out.
He's paying for this blog? I mean, for this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Okay.
But we're not paying him for it. So.
Okay, got it.
But we are using his. This is the first time we've used one of Dr. Lawless's posts for a podcast. But this one just absolutely took off. And I know you've written on inviting others to church. You've written on stats. I see you frequently cited for stats of people, you know, who will respond to an invitation positively if they're just invited. And, you know, a lot of us have unchurched next door.
Yep, that was the name of the book. And the book that I wrote on the issue of inviting the unchurched and how surprised we were that unchurched people will respond positively to an invitation. But here's the rub. We are not inviting them to church.
It's hard for them to know that there's an invitation when we don't invite it.
That's pretty good, Jonathan. Yeah. I think that was a very smart comment.
So Dr. Lawless listed 10 reasons, and we're just going to go through those today. Number one, people just don't think about it.
Yeah. Again, we think about that which is our priority. So, you know, I'll think about my family. I'll think about maybe college football. I'll think about some of these things that mean a lot to me. And I'm guilty more times than I would like to admit. I don't always think about inviting my church neighbor, inviting people that I know to church. And he put that as the number one reason. I think it's true. So what do we do about it? A lot of our listeners want to know, okay, we've got this idea. We got the concept. What do we do about it? I think we got to keep an awareness before our church members on a regular basis that they should be about the task of inviting. You're too young for this, but some older people may certainly resonate with this. When I was in my 20s, I'm now almost 60 years old, but when I was in my 20s, we had the envelope checkoff system. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
And you would check off, brought my Bible, attending worship service, attending Bible study. And usually the checkoff would have invited people to church. Mm-hmm. And it was a reminder to us to constantly be inviting people to church. We need that reminder on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, and you spoke about that in one of the recent books that you've written as well.
Did I?
Yes.
I lose track of what I've written.
All right, number two, I'm afraid I'll be rejected. So number one, people don't think about it. Number two, they have a fear about inviting others.
Again, if you go back to the research that we've done, and this was more about the attitude of unchurched people, but roughly about 5% will reject in a harsh way, but as many as 50%+ will accept an invitation. So if you can accept the fact that a little bit less than half will say no to you, but the rest will say yes, I think I would be motivated to do so. I think if we were to tell our people who are financially astute that they can get close to a 50% return on investment, they might do so.
I'm in.
You're in, and let's just say there's almost a 50% return on inviting people who are not currently in church to church. Don't be afraid of rejection. Celebrate those who say yes.
And a lot of times, if you're talking about neighbors or people that you know, they're a lot more open than just a cold call type of invitation to someone.
Probably so, but the reality of it is they're all open, even the casual acquaintances. And here's one of the keys to it. It's not merely inviting people to church, but it's inviting them and offering to take them to lunch or to do something with them afterwards or to pick them up or to meet them somewhere. They don't want to go by themselves.
Yeah. Number three, is one that I didn't expect to be on the list. And Dr. Lawless talks about the music isn't that good at church. So we don't invite people because we don't want to be embarrassed by the music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, what are the people who are currently going? Are they going because they're tolerating the music or they don't like the music? I don't know. But I was surprised at that as well. But it's one of the excuses he's found. So maybe what we got to do is we got to find music that's aligned with our preferences, and then we have to then invite people. I don't like that, though.
A lot of times, too, that can be a mask for something else. That may be something that somebody says, but they're actually masking another reason or just using that as an excuse.
And I think that that's probably part of the next reason as well, which
number
is...
Number 4, the preaching isn't strong.
Yeah, I know. Don't come to the church where I am currently attending because, or I'm a member, because I don't like the preaching that is there.
I hope Dr. Lawless's pastor didn't read this.
Well, I hope not either, and I just want to tell my pastor, Mike Glenn,
fantastic.
Yeah, I love your preaching, and I will invite anybody there to hear your preaching, at least every third sermon. So, again, I was surprised at that, and I think that you may have hit it on that one. I think this may be the mask issue that... this is an excuse for the fact that we're not inviting.
Number 5, that we've got too many church problems right now. Now, you've never been in a church that has had problems that are embarrassing to outsiders.
I have never been in a church that doesn't have problems, and I have never led a church as a pastor that didn't have a lot of problems because I was the pastor right now. The reality of it is, unless it's an issue that's highly exacerbated, any church is going to be imperfect, and we never wait till it hits perfection. We never wait till everything gets right. And the more that you're in a church, the longer you are there, the more you're going to see the inadequacies, the faults, the people who are sinners just like we are. And so, therefore, don't be reluctant to invite people because the church isn't perfect. Invite them, and they will understand that there's no organization from a human perspective where there are people involved that is going to be perfect. It's a bad excuse.
Now, number 6 is one that I've actually seen in churches that churches fail to realize and could be a legitimate excuse, and it's our church is already too crowded. I mean, we've been in rooms where it feels crowded. We've talked in the past on the podcast about different types of seating and how they fill up in people's minds. The capacity seems smaller than it actually is. But there are reasons that churches are crowded, and I guess it does hinder people inviting others to church.
It's a good problem to have, though.
It is. It's a great problem to have. But it's one that churches need to recognize and try to alleviate that problem.
That's right. And we've talked about this many times, the old 80% principle. If it's 80% full, then it appears full. Especially if you have pews instead of chairs.
Especially if you have pews.
Yeah, especially if you have pews, because people like to spread out, and they like to put the women like to put their purses, the men like to put their Bibles and coats or whatever. Not that the women don't have Bibles and coats as well, but I was just being specific for the women on purses.
And hopefully men don't have purses.
Well, you never know. So that is an issue, but there are not that many churches that are too crowded, number 1. And number 2, if you're too crowded, do something about it.
Yeah.
That's where you start going to multiple worship services. That's where you look at the idea of going to multi-site. That's where you look at the idea of expanding the church one way or another. Don't sit still, because if you don't have enough room, that is a great opportunity.
Yeah, I can't imagine a pastor getting up in front of the church and saying, all right, next week, don't invite anybody. We're full.
Yeah, I know.
You know, put a vacancy sign or no vacancy.
No vacancy. No room at this end.
Yes.
There'd be a good sermon on that.
Especially in December. Number 7, that nobody ever challenged me to invite anyone. I find this one hard to believe, because I've yet to meet a pastor who doesn't challenge and encourage his people to invite others to church.
You know, I've done a lot of consultations in my past. And when I had the company, before I came to Lifeway, I had the company called Rainer Group. And all said and done, in some form or another, we did over 500 consultations. And here's the reality. There are not many pastors that are challenging their people to invite.
Really?
You've been in some very healthy churches.
I guess
You've been in churches where they've been crowded. You've been in churches where the pastor's encouraging people to invite. I have mentioned that. In fact, I was in a recent consultation, and I was meeting with the pastor, and I said, when do you on a regular basis encourage the people to be inviting their friends and relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors, the FRAN acronym? And he paused for a moment. He said, well, you know, I think you've been there 8 years. He said, I don't think I ever have.
Wow.
I said, well, you know, if you do, it may cause them to invite some more people. And if they invite some more people, then you might see some growth in your church.
What a concept.
That makes sense. So I think that that is a reality. I think that many times the church members are not thinking about inviting, and I gave my own caveat that I'm too guilty of that at times. They're not thinking about it because they're not being reminded of the priority of it. So, yeah, you've been in the good churches, but I think that this is a reality.
What point in the service would a pastor remind people? Because I've seen it done a lot, you know, kind of on the way out on the back end.
I don't think there's a magic area. It can be a part of the sermon if it applies to the sermon. My pastor is very good about making a mini sermon out of the offertory time. He says, this is why we give, and this is why people come here. There's another time to make it a part of the offertory. At the end, it's people leave. During, if they have announcements at the beginning, whether they're on a screen or verbally done, that is another way to do it, to put it in the worship folder or the bulletin, whatever it's may be called. All of those are possibilities. It needs to be constantly before the people. There needs to be this ethos that in our church, we are constantly inviting people.
And a lot of times, the easy ways to do that as well are whenever you start a new sermon series.
That's very well stated.
A perfect time whenever you're starting a new sermon series. And I've been in churches where they would pass out cards. You know, so you'd have, you know, starting June the 22nd, we're going through this sermon series. And you get a pack of 10 cards. Maybe it comes in the bulletin. Maybe they're on a table outside in the lobby. But pick up a pack of cards, and it gives you something to hand out to people that week.
You know, that reminds me of something else. Again, I'm showing my age, but when I was a pastor, particularly when I was a pastor in the late 80s, early 90s, my church in St. Petersburg, we did a friend day. You ever heard of friend day?
Oh, yeah.
That was done by Church Growth Institute many years ago. It's been done by different organizations with different names since then, Back to Church Day, those kind of things. We were averaging at the time, best of my recollection, is about 150. Mm-hmm. And we did a friend day, and we never dropped below 200 after that
day.
So a 33% minimum increase. What we did is we just had this one day where everybody made a commitment to invite someone. They actually pinned it on a bulletin board and actually put a physical pin. This is who I'm inviting, and this is who I'll bring. Mm. So it worked.
And what about inviting, we're talking about inviting non-believers or, you know, even de-churched and unchurched people, but what about reminding those who you maybe haven't seen in a few weeks? I mean, that's another, you know, calling a friend that you haven't seen. Whenever you brought up Friend Day, it got me thinking about that. But calling up somebody you haven't seen in church in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And reminding, you know, and getting them back in the fold, so to speak.
I wrote a post, and we may have even discussed it on the podcast at some time ago, about the number one reason that church attendance is declining.
Oh, yeah.
The number one reason that church attendance is declining is not because membership is dropping precipitously. It's because people are coming less frequently.
Yeah.
And so the person who was coming four times a month is now coming three times a month. And therefore, if everybody does that, that's a 25% decrease. Mm-hmm. So those are the people we should be inviting back as well as inviting others.
Number eight is, I don't know how to start the conversation.
Well, the conversation is pretty easy. I would like to invite you to go to my church and please go to lunch with me.
Yeah.
Just as simple as that. Would you go to lunch with me? Would you, I'm presuming it's a Sunday morning service. I'll meet you. I'll pick you up. Would you go with me? It's just like inviting anyone anywhere else. I think the reticence behind this is because it is a religious function.
Yeah.
And there's this perception that people are going to be opposed to anything that is religious, and that is just not the reality of it. There will be the 5% that will have something nasty to say. There will be the 40% that may decline, but there will be the 55% that will say, yeah, I think I'd really like to do that. In fact, you may hit them at a very opportune time. My wife, Nellie Jo, was just reminding me. She said, you know, I got an email from, or text message, I believe it was, from such and such, someone that she had invited to church and had not seen her come, but she ended up going to our son's church, different church in town.
Oh, okay.
And she said, I really want to talk to Jess, my son, Nellie Jo, my wife, this person who visited. I don't understand what this Christian stuff is, and I need y'all to explain to me how to become a Christian.
Wow.
So that started off with a mere invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't awkward at all. She was totally unchurched, and she just started going to church right now. But it was, we'd love to have you go to church with us sometime.
Yeah.
Easy as that.
Very simple.
Yep, very simple.
Number nine, it's the Spirit's job, not mine, to bring people to church.
Yeah, you could say that about a lot of things. You could say it's the Spirit's job to evangelize. You could say it's the Spirit's job to do ministry. I understand that we should be Spirit-led. I understand that we should be following the guidance of God. I understand all of that. But God uses us as instruments.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, then you're not in the Bible that much, because God is constantly using instruments. Yeah. We are his instruments, and he wants to use us, and so therefore we should be inviting.
Number 10, it's too far for people to come.
Well, the reality of it is, if you look in most areas, I understand there's some small towns and rural communities that would be different. Most people are taking 30 to 45 minutes to come to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 days a week,
yep,
usually. I don't think it's going to be that issue for church where they cannot make some driving distance. But if it is, there are plenty of churches in between, and you can get someone else to invite them to that other church. Basically, that's what happened with that example that we just gave. She actually lived closer to our son's church than she did our church.
Yeah, and a lot of people live closer to their church than their job. Where we are here in Nashville, a lot of us live on the outskirts in the suburbs, and we drive into downtown where Lifeway is located. But we go to church kind of in our area. You usually live and worship in a similar area.
Yep. And as this morning, 65 North was totally shut down.
Yeah.
I got a warning that I could get off there and take an alternate route. And we will go through all kinds of gymnastical maneuvers with our vehicles in order to get to work. And I don't think that it's going to be that problematic if they come to church.
So those are 10 issues and 10 reasons and excuses that Dr. Lawless listed. Would you list any more? Are there any more that you would probably add to the list?
Rather than adding to the list, I want to give an exhortation. This sounds like a shameless promo of my book, The Unchurched Next Door. It's written several years ago, so it's certainly not a current book. But we did research on people who were not currently in church. And I had an entire chapter in there based upon the research of how receptive they are to coming. And I think if you look at all of these, more of these are excuses, more of these are rationalizations. And the real thing is, we just have to be obedient. Now, is inviting someone to church, sharing the gospel with them? Not directly, but it is inviting someone to a place where they will be in a gospel environment where they will likely hear the gospel. So to me, inviting people to the church is one facet of the Great Commission, and we have to be obedient to that. There are plenty of others that we could add to this, Jonathan. There's such and such person in the church that we don't like.
Yeah.
That would go to the problem. When I heard one recently in a church, our church facility is not cool enough during the summertime. And so I'm not going to invite people to church.
I'm only going to invite people in the winter.
I guess so. Assuming it's warm enough
in
the winter.
In the winter.
So the list could go on. The rationalizations could go on. Here's two things that I want to leave with the listener. If you are a pastor or other leader within the church, make certain that you are redundantly reminding your people to invite people to church. If you're a church member, find reasons to invite them, because according to our research, the response rate is going to be greater than 50%. Those two things could lead to church revitalization right by themselves.
And part of the finding people to invite is being involved in the lives of unchurched people.
Yeah, we cannot be in our holy huddles all the time, our Christian cocoons. We got to break out of those into a world of the unchurched. We have to be intentional about that as well.
As we mentioned earlier, this podcast is brought to you by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary's Doctor of Ministry program. If you want more out of your ministry, want to study with a world-class faculty, and need to stay where you currently serve, the Dean at Southeastern is the answer for you. Visit sebts.edu/demon for more information. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
Just a reminder that our sponsor, the D-Men at Southeastern Seminary, Dr. Lawless, is actually the dean of the graduate school there. So he is one that would know a lot about what's going on at Southeastern, so I want to remind them of that. And I just want to give an exhortation. Go over these excuses again. Go back, whether you re-listen to the podcast or whether you go back and read the original blog post that was written by Dr. Lawless, go back and read those again and come up with some reasons that you can invite. I would challenge our listeners to come up with 10 good reasons on why they should invite people to church. You know what? I may even write a blog post on that.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.